Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time. And when I say beautiful day, I mean it just looks great. It feels great. And it's good to be outside. It's good to be out and just enjoying the weather. It's something we're going to do. Once I'm off the air, we're going to get out here and enjoy it too, because we know that winter is coming. We know that winter is coming. It's 77 degrees in Chicago. I'm located near the lake in my studio at 6 o'clock straight up, and it is beautiful. And there is some breaking news. One of the Black Hawks superstars has been, there's allegations of rape against Patrick Kane, one of the superstars of the two or three times championship team, the Chicago Black Hawks. So we're waiting on more on that. If it comes within this show, I will bring it to you. But that's very, very sad. And, you know, we're all hoping that these allegations are not true. But these allegations are coming from the police department of, I think it's Hamburg, New York, or somewhere out there where he has a home. And a beautiful home, I may say. I got to look at it, and it's gorgeous. It's just sad. I mean, he's one of the reigning superstars of this team. He's the main reason why this team, one of the main reasons to why this team wins the way that it does. And, you know, have it that he's charged with rape, Patrick Kane, it's astonishing. And I understand that the woman who's making these charges have gone to the police department, and they're trying to find out if these things are true or not true. But most of us here in Chicago and the fans here, we're hoping that this is not true. but it's, whether it's true or not, it's kind of damning. His career is kind of, you know, going backwards, going downwards. And, you know, allegations like this, whether it's true or not true, and it's damning. It really is damning to the team. And when something like this goes down, the first thing the team thinks about doing is letting this guy go. But they are giving Patrick Kane the benefit of the doubt to find out. Just like the rest of us, we're waiting on more information to come out of New York to see what happens. And even myself, I'm hoping that it's not true. I'm hoping that this is not true. Rape allegations against the Black Hawks superstar Patrick Kane, and he has the cup with him, you know, the Stanley Cup, the award that they've won for winning the championship early on this year. So that's kind of unnerving. It's kind of a damper on Chicago, especially Chicago sports and the sports world. So we'll see where that goes. We'll see where it goes. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. as mentioned, it is a pretty freaking day, you know. it's a pretty good day. I mean, it's great. It's wonderful. And this is my son's final day of volunteering and before he goes back to school. And, you know, he's looking forward to that. He better be, you know. So this is the last day. He's having some sort of office party and commemorate his volunteering and all of his help. He's got a certificate of completion, so they're having a party, and I'm hoping he's having a great time because he does a great job. He's a good kid. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., and we're talking today. The topic today is, do leaders have moral obligations to lead? We're going to be talking about that as we progress on into the show, probably one or two segments down the road during today of this show, the George Wilder Jr. Show. Do leaders have the moral obligations to lead? Okay, if you were to ask me something like that, I would probably say yes. Stay tuned for that, and we'll get into that a little later on into the show. All righty. The Republicans are going to have their debate tonight. There's 10 on stage. The 10 is there because they are the ones with the higher polls and the higher recognition. They should be going on, I think, about 9 o'clock tonight. But there's the 7 others Republicans who are running for president of the United States. They should be on the air on Fox News. I say that loosely, Fox News, as I speak. I don't watch Fox News, okay? But there are some public, they're debating as we speak, you know. But the real debate with Donald Trump is going to come tonight at 9 o'clock. So we have time for that. And so it's going to be a real circus because Donald Trump is sucking up all the air in the room. And there's a bit of other news tonight. This is the last night for Jon Stewart of The Daily Show. A lot of people are sad because of that. And to me, here is another guy that's being replaced by someone who I do not think is qualified to take his place, to be his replacement. And you think of Chuck Todd taking Ed Schultz's place on MSNBC. That's a poor choice. And Jimmy Fallon taking the place of Jay Leno. That's a poor choice to replace Jay Leno. I have watched Jimmy Fallon. I don't think Jimmy Fallon is funny. I don't think his monologue, the opening of the show where he gives his monologue, I don't think that's funny. I try to like Jimmy Fallon. I really do. I really did. I bent over backwards to like Jimmy Fallon of The Tonight Show. The guy, in my estimation, is not funny. He is no Jay Leno. I believe Jay Leno was on his show one time, and Jay Leno even criticized him for not being funny or as funny as someone who is taking the place of an icon like Jimmy Fallon. Same goes for David Letterman. I don't think Stephen Colbert is nowhere near as funny or as bright or anything as David Letterman. So you have a lot of people leaving their shows. I think, like I stated on Facebook, I think a lot of people are leaving their TV television shows, some through no fault of their own, some wanting to retire. But then they get these replacements that come no near of what they've done. You know, so it's a disappointment. It really is a disappointment because, and most of these shows that comes on late at night, these shows are just for movie stars. The movie stars to push their movies or whatever they want to do, push their movies and act silly and talk silly, basically pushing their films. So you and I see their movies while they make a lot of money. And we lose money, especially if the movie's no good, you know, once you pay your ticket. But then you have something else in the news. You got another theater shooting. Now, enough is enough of these theater shootings. You know, the movie box office receipts are down, and they're going to get worse. Because a lot of people, I mean, this is the third shooting, a third or fourth shooting And this is the second shooting in 1 month currently. So you have all of these shoot, and I got a feeling there's going to be more theater shootings, whereas people are going to the movies, and you know, you never know you're going to come out alive. And their officials are saying that, you know, the moviegoers should be more vigilant when they're going to the movie. Hell, going to a movie is almost just like going to a church in some ways. You don't go there to be shot. You go there to be, you know, you go there to be entertained, or you go there to learn, or you go there to worship. You don't go, the last thing on your mind is getting shot. You know, when you go out to a movie, that's the last thing. You go out to a movie to be entertained. You don't go there to have to duck between the seats because flying bullets are everywhere. You just don't do that. And some people are deciding to stay home from movies. And I don't blame them. My own home theater, you know, in my apartment, my own home theater. I don't have to go to any movie if I don't want to. Because I think I mentioned last time on one of the episodes of the George Wilder Jr. Show, I mentioned that the last time I actually went to a movie, it was just terrible. I mean, people were disrupting and noisy and just obnoxious, you know, and that made me not want to go back to a movie, but I went back anyway because it was a movie I wanted to see, and we saw it in 3D. Not just 3D, but, you know, it was cool. It was very, very cool. And high definition in 3D. It was cool. It was great. But there was a time I went to a movie, and a few times, and I was just turned off by, you know, hecklers, people sleeping in the theater, people talking very loud on their cell phones. So that's when I made the conscious decision. Me personally, I'm not talking about other people, but if you want to chime in this, you can. 347-857-176. A movie, but I know within me I'm going to go to a movie. If a movie comes out that I want to see and I think it's going to be great entertainment, I'm on my way. You know, I'm on my way. I'm just going to have to take my chances. But virtually, I'm not going to be attending movies as much as I used to. I mean, the technology is so nowadays where you don't have to step out of your house to go to a movie. If a movie comes out, you can get it right there the day it comes out on your home theater. Just got to pay a little bit more for it, but it's there. You can have that movie right there in your home. You don't have to go out to a movie and be, you know, rambunctious, obnoxious, sitting around those type of people. A lot of the people who go to a theater, they go there to watch the movie. But you're always going to get people who are going to come to a theater to sleep, to make noise, to be disruptive, maybe even to pull out a gun and start spraying bullets. I mean, that is enough for me to want to stay home. And anyway, I enjoy staying home. If I have company, hey, wow, we're going to, friends over or something like that, we're going to sit around and enjoy a movie. You know, I mean, hey, wow, you know, Netflix or something, or a movie that I might have in my my stash. You know, I got about 100 or 200 movies, and that saves a lot of money, you know. So what do you think? What do you think? Do you think you should be, shootings, will they make you want to stay home? I'm going to do a show about this specifically in the near future about the theater shootings that are constantly occurring. I mean, Hollywood and the movie theaters, the owners of the movie theaters, they are shaking in their boots because Hollywood is already not making the money that they think that they should be. And without people coming to the theaters, you know, that's going to be, you know, another downer for them, you know. And the movie stars and the actors, because, you know, when someone's making a movie, that's That's their job. That's what they get paid to do, you know. And they get paid damn well to do it, you know. So, I mean, if you want to chime in on that, like I said, 347-857-762, drop me an email or an inbox or a comment or whatever you want to say about anything that I've just got through discussing on this show. And what's going on now, right at this moment, is a Republican debate. Everybody, there's 17 of them. You know, so there's 7 that's facing off right now, and there will be 10 facing off around 9 p.m. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, 614 straight up, 77 degrees outside, beautiful, 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 beautiful. And this is August 6th, 2015, and this is the 116th show of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And August is totally my anniversary month for doing this show for 1 year. 1 year I've been doing this show. And you know what? I love it. I think it's great. And it is super. And I'm hoping to do it for another year and maybe a lot years after that. This is my 1 year anniversary. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not Jon Stewart or anything. I'm not Jay Leno or David Letterman, but I'm just plain old George Wilder Jr., you know, on the Block Talk Radio, and it's my anniversary. And thank you guys for being out there. Thank you for archiving the show. Even if you're not listening live, like I said before, you can always listen later. You can podcast the show. I'm also in iTunes. That's exciting. That really is exciting, being in iTunes. I'm on Google, you know, and right here, the Wilder Network, as I used to call it. I'm not going to call it that way because I don't have a bunch of radio stations out there. So that was a kind of a mistake to do that. So we'll just say the Wilder Presentation or something like that. We'll come up with something. Anyway, school is back. School is starting it back in for my son. For my son, it's August 12th, 2015. That should be exciting. School supplies. Time to get to school supplies. It is something. And it's very exciting. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're out there. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I will be right back. Stay with me. There's more to come. Hey friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our times. Thank you very much. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, the smart quiz question for the day. How many senators are there from each state? I've done this question before. So I know my audience is smart. I know my audience is bright and intelligent, and they know this. But if you don't know it, you can always Google it. You know, if on any device that you have, you know, it's a simple question. It's a constitutional question. So if you don't know the answer, if you don't feel like looking it up or researching it at this moment, I understand. I will have the answer by the end of the show. Okay, how many senators, give you some time to think about it. How many senators are from each state, United States senators? Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. with George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Do leaders have moral obligations to lead? We're going to have a guest, a clip. Let me see. John Maxwell will tell us later on in the show about five levels of leadership. Okay, this is great. This is great. I listened to it before I decided to put it on the air. And he's talking. He sounds like a great guy, a wonderful guy, a guy who knows his stuff about leadership. So we'll have that later on in the show. Okay, stay tuned for that. Stick around for that. Okay, let me say something about leadership before I get into some of this other stuff that's in the news. Before we have John Maxwell on the show, I want to say a little bit about leadership, okay? Okay. Authors are leaders. Published authors are leaders. Writers are leaders. You know, I know there are some authors out there who are reluctant. But if you got something down there, you got a book published, you're a writer, you're a leader. You are a teacher. Most writers are teachers, even if some try to deny that. Because as a writer, other people are looking up to you, especially if they themselves want to be published writers, published authors. They want your knowledge. They're going to seek your knowledge to try to help them in their careers or what they want to do. You are a leader in that aspect. There's no doubt about it. Teachers are leaders. You got young children. Their students are looking up to them for knowledge that's going to propel them on into their lives as they get older. So leaders are all around. You have ordinary people who are leaders in their own communities. They're leaders in their own communities. It's ordinary people. People names that you're not going to know. Sometimes their works you're not going to hear about. But they're out there volunteering, being leaders in their community. If you have something of value that other people will be seeking or are seeking, you are a leader. You are a teacher. You are someone that young children can look up to. You are a mentor. Leaders have knowledge, they have talent, and they're hard workers. Because others who see you as a hard worker and it's benefiting you, that's going to propel them or encourage them to also be hard workers. Hard workers are leaders. Even if they deny that they're a leader, someone is looking at you as a leader. Someone who knows your work is looking to you as a leader because they envy you. They want to know what you know so they can better themselves as they go on in life. So, but there are too many people out there who don't want to be leaders. And there's people out there who want leaders because there's people out there. This is a shame for me to say, but there are people out here who are looking for leaders. I don't think a person should be looking for a leader. I think a person should be trying to make themselves leaders. But there's too many people out here who are looking to be led, told what to do, told what to eat, told where to go, told what not to say. You know, I don't think that's leadership. I think that's someone who is controlled by something or some organization or something. And I don't think people should be controlled. When people are being controlled, they are not leaders. The leaders are the people who are doing the controlling, whether it's legal or illegal, right or wrong. So if I should answer this question, do leaders have the moral obligations to lead? Yes, they do. Yes, if you are a leader, you have the moral obligation to teach, to show, to mentor, to help out, to give your knowledge, to give your skills, to help other people. Yes, you have the obligation to be a leader because there are a lot of people out here, like I said before, they are looking for leaders. And I don't think you should be looking for a leader unless you are a child or something, because a lot of children, including myself when I was smaller, you know, I was looking up for a mentor. But that mentor was not there. And so many other kids are the same. They're looking for someone to look up to someone, but that someone is not there for them to look up to. That's where you can come in as a leader, as a mentor, as a guide, as someone with lots of knowledge, talent, that can propel that child or those children and teach them to be the best that they can be within this society. So yes, they do. They do have a moral obligation to lead, to teach, to give. But there's a lot of leaders out there who are denying that they're leaders. And, you know, I think leaders make a better world. Now, when you listen to John Maxwell, he might tell you something different than I've already told you. But I do think that there's a wide and broad spectrum of leadership. You know, he's not necessarily wrong about how he sees leadership. And I'm not necessarily wrong about how I perceive leadership. But one thing is for sure, leadership among those who have the ability to lead have the moral obligation to lead. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. If I think of myself as a leader, I'm not going to go out and look for people to lead. I'm going to let those people come to me if they want to be, if they're looking for a leader. You come to me because I don't want to take a chance on looking for people to lead, and maybe they're the wrong kinds of people to be led in the first place. Just like anything else, you have to prove that you need a leader or that you want to learn. It's out there. It's all over the place. And I think leaders are everywhere. Parents can be leaders. They can lead their children, you know, into the right direction, you know. So this is George Water Jr. of George Water Jr. Show, talking leadership, because it is desperately needed. Leadership is desperately needed. We need leaders. And there are so many capable and conscionable leaders out here. Leaders can make this a better world, a better country, a better state, a better city, a better community, a better neighborhood. Good and great leaders are not born. You become a leader through hard work. Hard work. And that's when others are going to start to look up to you, because they know that you are a hard worker. And that's what people like to see people who are hard workers. People like to be around people who are hard workers. So we'll get into that later on, because I'm going to have John Maxwell. He's going to be on the show in a clip. And he's going to talk about the 5 levels of leadership. I don't think we're going to clash. I just think we may have 2 different visions of leadership. You know, so this is George Water Jr. Show of the... Oh, I say that so much. Okay, I'm looking at... It says right here, the Voting Rights Act of 50 years ago, it's in jeopardy. Of course it's in jeopardy. It's been in jeopardy as long as the Republicans are running things. And the Republicans in Congress, they are running things because they have control over the House of Representatives. They have control over the Senate. So they are running things, kind of. I say kind of because we have a Democrat. Supposedly, we have a Democrat in the White House, which is President Barack Obama. I haven't said President Barack Obama in a long time. Usually I'm always saying, and other people are saying, just plain old Obama. You know, you leave the president off, you leave the president off the front of his name and just say, oh, that's Obama. But you, the Voting Rights Act, it's 50 years old, but they say it's on life support. It's on life support because the Republicans don't like it. Anything that's good for America, the Republicans are going to try to repeal it, get rid of it, throw it away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that so many people are benefiting from it. They're trying to stop it. The Voting Acts Right was signed in 1964-65 by Lyndon Johnson, with Martin Luther King there right by his side. The Republicans of 2015-2016, they want to take that away. And it's just awful, you know, that they want to take the right of you and I and so many others away to keep us from voting. I don't know. And you know what? When you think about this crop of Republicans that are running for president of 2016, all of these guys, why are they debating? This is 17 Republicans. Why are they debating? They all think alike. They're all on the same page. You know, they are Republicans. They're conservatives. You know, I mean, they want to what? Conserve. And that means to do what? Cut, eliminate social programs, federal programs that help others. They're all on the same page. They're saying, well, we want the Hispanic vote. We want the black vote. Yeah, they want all of that. They want all of that to be in office, but once they get in office, you're going to wish you had not voted for one of these guys. But Donald Trump is sucking up all the air in the room. I mean, he is amazing. You got to give it to him. You got to say, hey, wow, you may not like what he's saying. You may not like his extreme positions. You may not like much of anything that Donald Trump stands for, but you got to give the guy credit. He came in knocking the blocks off the heads of these other conservative candidates. He's, from my understanding, as of now, he's got 23%. There are some people on that's going to be on the stage with him, 3%. Polling only 3%, at 3%. You got to give it to Donald Trump. Oh, no, I would never vote for Donald Trump. But he's a winner. What can you say? You got to go with winners. I like him because he's a winner. As I've just got through saying, would I vote for him? Hell no. I'm strictly Bernie Sanders. And I try to say this in every radio show but sometimes I may not. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. But this, but this Republican clown show is amazing. It's amazing, and you gotta go with it. You've got to, you just gotta like it. You know what? I'm gonna like everybody else. I'm gonna watch it because I want to report on it tomorrow on the show of my thoughts and everything. Because it's interesting. And you know what? Even though there are 17 Republicans running for the president of the United States, for president of the United States. You know, it's Donald Trump. It's the Donald Trump show. You know, everybody, all the reporters, all the media, everybody who around the world, they're waiting to see Donald Trump. They're waiting to see how Donald Trump is going to just smash everybody else on the stage with what he has to say. They're waiting for him. And you got to give it to Donald Trump, you know, for being a winner. He won already, even though there has been no, the debates haven't even actually started, but he's already a winner because everybody is waiting for him to talk. They're not waiting for Rand Paul. They're not waiting for Arena. They're not waiting for Rick Perry. They're not waiting for Jeb Bush. They're waiting for Donald Trump, because the reporters, the news stations, the news outlets, they've got their pen and their pad waiting to write whatever he say. The cameras are going to be on him. The footage is going to be everywhere. It's going to be interesting to say I'm going to be right there at my television set watching this debate that starts tonight at 9. You know, even if I miss the debate, I mean, you can always go on the computer and you know, podcast it and archive it. If you miss it, just like you can podcast and archive my show. But this is going to be something. this is going to be something. And let's get back to the voting rights. Now, there are so many states now that are suppressing the vote, trying to keep you and I and people like us from voting. Because you know why they want to keep us from voting? Because they want to stay in office. If we all voted, if all liberals, progressive, young and old, blind and crippled, if we all voted, there is no way a Republican can get into office. And they know this. So they have to make up and lie about voter fraud and stuff like that in order to keep you and I from voting so they can stay in office, or they can cheat their way into office or lie their way into office. Because like I've said in many other shows, we are the 99%ers. They are the 1%. Which is more? The 99%ers. But however, the reason why a lot of Republicans get into office, the majority of that 99% does not vote. They don't vote. The young people do not vote. Most of the seniors, they have their senior moments because they go out and vote for a Republican. They sit there and watch Fox News and hate Obama. You know, so we have to do something about that. The 99%ers have to get out there and vote to keep the Republicans out of office. And I've said many times, the southern states, Georgia, Florida, Houston, Dallas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Tennessee, Raleigh, North Carolina. Why all of these states or most of these states have a Republican president when the population is mostly African American or other? I don't understand that. But I do understand is that people did not vote, and a lot of these states and these governors in these states are suppressing the vote. They're making it harder for people to vote. That's all it is. and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, signed by Lyndon Johnson, is in trouble. Our ancestors who have died and fought for you and I to have the right to get out there and vote, it's now in trouble. The Republicans are talking about taking it away or repealing it, which is something I don't think is ever going to happen if the 99%ers, the middle class, including the middle class, the young, the old, get your butts out there and vote. Why do you think we got Bruce Rauner in Illinois? Because people didn't vote. And also Bruce Rauner had a lot of money and he bought the office. The thing is, if we want to change things in this country, and I've said this before, we want to change stuff, and it needs a lot of changing, we have to vote. I know there's people out there, my religion won't let me vote. Then you need to leave that religion. Because you're paying taxes, whether you like it or not, property taxes, state taxes, federal taxes, sales taxes, and all of that falls under your government. All that falls under the people you vote for, who are supposed to represent you. You may not vote, but still and all, even if you don't vote, you still have someone who's representing you. You still reaping the benefits of being represented, even if you do not vote. So why not vote? Because you think we're all going to go to hell and you're not? I don't know what that is. But it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. And I know that I'm just a voice in the wilderness here. But we need to get out there and do something. We need to get Bernie Sanders in office. And we have to stop this nonsense about not voting. You got whatever reason you give for not voting, it's not good enough. It's not going to hold water. It's not. If you're in the United States, you're paying taxes, you are a U.S. citizen, you're working, you're middle class, you're struggling, you have the right to, you should vote. That's the only way that this country is going to change. We're the 99%ers. We all get out there and vote the right way. Hey, we can change this country. We stay home, get pissed off, mad and angry at someone, or we let our religion or some other organization or cult get in the way, then it's our own fault. It's our fault because we didn't exercise. We stayed home. We laid up on the couch. We was watching TV. We didn't do nothing. It's unbelievable. But it's happening. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. Show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, 347-857-1762. That is the George Wilder Jr. and this is I. Okay, we're going to take a short break right here. Let's see if we can cue up something right here. All righty, smart quiz question. How many senators are from each state? That should be a no-brainer. Be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right, we're back. We're back. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're broadcasting live from Chicago. We are back, and it is still a pretty decent day outside. I'm in my studio looking out the window onto the Broadway, and everybody's going about here or there. I'm near Lake Michigan, and that's wonderful. There's always a cool breeze coming off the lake. And we're talking about the do leaders have moral obligations to lead? And I've already stated that, yes, they do. And we're also talking about the Republican debate that's coming up. And I understand that the Democratic debate is going to start in October. I think it's October 13th for the Democratic debate. And my thinking is, wow, that's quite far ahead. You know, my thinking was like, you know, maybe it should be in August. You know, move it up a little bit. But October the 13th. And I hear that the Republicans are doing about eight or nine, and the Democrats are only going to do six because, you know, there's 17 Republicans running and there's about, you know, five or six Democrats running. So I guess the debates depend on how many people are running for president on either side of the aisle, something to that effect. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. This should be great, this debate. The five things to watch. during the debate. Let's see what they're saying. They're saying there's five things to watch during the debate. What, Republicans, and Republicans. Maybe that's what I don't think Donald Trump deliver. You know, like I said before, all eyes are on Donald Trump. The billionaire real estate mogul has been trying to lower expectations ahead of the debate. But he, you know, it's not working. Expectations from this guy is very, very high. Saying last week that he has no idea of how he'll perform. He better perform the way he has performed in the past because that is how he has gotten those high poll numbers that he has. So, but if there's one predictable thing about Donald Trump, is his fare for the unpredictable. And that's what a lot of people are waiting for. They're going to be waiting for the unpredictable. They're going to be waiting to see and hear Donald Trump go off script, you know, like he has done so many times in the past when he talked about Mexican immigrants or drug addicts, drug dealers, and rapists. And, you know, when he said that, his poll numbers just shot through the roof. Boy, if Obama had the nerve to say things like that, he would be something. You know, they say Obama's got too much class. I don't know. I think Obama needs a little shot of nerve adrenaline or something. But anyway, the second thing is how will everyone on stage handle Trump? See, this is the second question about Trump. And I'm looking at the Hill. You know, this is it's all about Donald Trump tonight. I know I'm not going off topic, folks. I'm still going to do leaders have more obligations to lead? But you got to go with what's in the news, what's happening now. You know, and that's what I try to make this show about. Even though I have politics up here, this show is not always about politics, but majority of the time it is. So, the first question was, can Donald Trump deliver? The second one is, how will everyone on stage handle Donald Trump? But I can tell you this, if Donald Trump does not be Donald Trump tonight, a lot of people are going to be disappointed. My point is, everyone who will be watching this debate, and it's going to be a high rating debate because of Donald Trump. Everyone who will be watching this debate tonight, this first debate, they are going to be looking for Donald Trump to be Donald Trump. Anything less than that, then the debate is going to go in another direction. Okay, the third one is, can any of the lower polling candidates break through? I don't think so. However, there's always a chance that Donald Trump screws up. And if Donald Trump screws up so badly where his poll numbers go down, obviously the next one to step up is either going to be Jeb Bush or that person called Scott Walker. But I don't think Donald Trump is going to screw up. I think Donald Trump knows that he has to be Donald Trump. And if he's Donald Trump, then he should have no problem winning the Republican nomination for president of the United States. Will he win the presidential office? Will he win the White House? No. But he will be the one out there. And I've heard that that Bill Clinton contacted before the debate, or even before Donald Trump entered the race, that Bill Clinton, Hillary's husband, Bill Clinton called and talked to Donald Trump. Now, they're trying to make a lot out of that. And we'll just have to see where that goes. But I do know one thing. Hillary Clinton has taken so much money from Donald Trump. Donald Trump has given money to her charities and stuff like that. So Hillary Clinton, who's running as a Democrat for the president of the United States, have, you know, enormous ties to Donald Trump, and he's a Republican. So that's very interesting. And like I've said so many times, Hillary Clinton is corporate. She's bought off. She's a corporate. She might as well be a moderate Democrat or just a plain old Republican. And that's why I could never, ever vote for Hillary Clinton, because I don't believe in her. Just like the poll said, a lot of people distrust her, and for good reason, for damn good reason. You know, so she and her husband, Bill Clinton, has ties to Donald Trump. And that's, I would think that's not sitting well with some of her supporters. I would think, you know. So what is the, that's the third one. Let's see what the fourth one is. Can Jeb Bush come across as his own man? Well, Jeb Bush is going to have to show some guts or some backbones, or Donald Trump is going to tear him apart. You know, he has to. Because before Donald Trump entered the race for president, Jeb Bush was on top. And I don't know where Scott Walker come in, being second or third, because this guy is the worst thing ever for Wisconsin. He's a governor, you know, so, but he's the worst. I don't know how he came in. So I don't know. You know, maybe he's appealing to the hate out there. Who knows? Okay, the fourth is, can Jeb Bush come across as his own man? He better come across as his own man, or Donald Trump is going to slice him up. Okay, that's number four. Let's see what number five is. Will the debate live up to the hype? Well, that's something that we're going to have to, if you're going to watch debate, and I hope you do, I mean, because this is your country, and you should take, you know, some interest in your country if you have not done so already. Will the debate live up to the hype? I don't know. I can't say that. I can't look into the future. The only thing I can do is watch debate, you know, just like you, watch debate and make my own insertions, have my own opinions about it, see what happens, you know. Will it live up to the hype? I don't know. Depends on Donald Trump, maybe. Who knows? Like I just said, if Donald Trump acts like Donald Trump, it will live up to the hype and maybe more. But I don't know. I don't want to say this because the debate hasn't really started, at least not the one that Donald Trump is going to take part of. Okay, let's see what the sixth one has to say. All righty. Oh, man, do I have to click something? Okay, five. Okay, it's just five. Okay, I'm thinking there was six. Okay, it says right, five things to watch. Let me read that again. Can Donald Trump deliver? Number one. Two, how will everyone on stage handle Trump? Three, can any one of the lower polling candidates break through? That's a Trump question, too, but without his name. Okay. Can Jeb Bush come across as his own man? We'll find out. Will the debate live up to the hype? As long as Donald Trump is Donald Trump, yes. Okay. Despite the wall-to-wall coverage of leading up to the debate, mostly fueled by curiosity over what will Trump do, it's all about Donald Trump. There is a chance it won't be fireworks show. They want fireworks, okay? They're saying it will not be fireworks. How can they say it will not be fireworks? They haven't seen the debate yet. It hasn't started, okay? So that could be fireworks. That's what we're looking for, because everybody's looking to go to their media outlets to report this, you know. They're looking for Donald Trump. It's about Donald Trump. You know, he never held an office before. He's a businessman. He's a billionaire. Man, this is going to be something. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Show. I'm going to take a break right here. And when I come back, we're going to have, who are we going to have? Let's see. I believe it's John Maxwell. Okay, he's going to be talking about the five levels of leadership. And this is very important because I think leadership plays a great part. I mean, if you think about it, all those Republican candidates on stage, all 17 of them, they're leaders. They may not be the right kind of leaders. They may not be good leaders, but they're leaders. You know, every one of them on that stage, I believe, has written a book. Every one of them on that stage has held an office or either has ran for office in the past. Or are holding an office right now. And that makes them leaders. And this show is basically about leaders. Leadership. You know. And so when I'm talking about the debate tonight, I'm still talking and referring to leadership. And that's what it's all about. And like I said before, I'm going to take a short break right here. And we will be right back with John Maxwell in the clip. Let me see what we're going to do here. Okay, we're still here. All right, let's see what's going on. We will be right back. I will be right back. John Maxwell. All right. Okay. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's 75 degrees. I'm near the lake, 7 o'clock straight up. And like I promised, here is John Maxwell on leadership. It is.
30 years I've been teaching this. And I've taught this for Westport for 30 years. I've been in Microsoft and teaching this. Lilly and Delta. And I've taught this for the largest organizations, West Point and companies in Delta, and teach the five levels of leadership. Because the largest organizations understand. Come and say, John, teach that if you and I today in these five levels can understand leadership, because they understand how they leadership works. And by the leadership, that if you and I today in these few minutes can understand. Not a noun. How leadership works, and by the way, leadership's not a verb. It's action, it's moving. Noun, it's a verb. It's action. It's moving. And if we can understand how to go from level one to level two to level three to level four to up to one to level two to level five in our leadership, we expand our leadership, we expand our influence, and we forward to expand our effectiveness. So I'm ready to go. I know you're ready to go. Okay, here we go to level five in our leadership. Level one, which is the very bottom level. This is where you start. This is where we all start. The bottom level is the position. Expand our leadership. We expand our level. At level number one, influence. This is where we all start. We start with a title. We all start with a job description. We all start with a position. Okay? Level number word. I'm ready to go. Level number one. The keyword is you're ready to go. Okay, here's IGH.
Well, it's obvious we're having some audio problems with that clip, so I'll try it again later. John Maxwell on leadership. We're having a problem with it, so stay tuned. Maybe I can get it straightened out and we can try it again. I really wanted you guys to hear it and understand it, but if there's something's wrong, and things happen in radio, so, you know, things happen. But like I've said, leadership is crucial in this country. It really is. It really is. And if you have a take on leadership, 647-857-162, the George Wilder Jr. Show. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for staying there. Thank you so much for understanding. We should be right back. Be right back. Sorry about that for the dead air. I didn't know this thing had gone off. All right, George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see if we can't get something started here. All right. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. All right, we're back. We're back. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I would like to say this. Illinois, the state of Illinois, still does not have a budget, and in some cases they're saying we shut down, but the state is still functioning. We're still working. I mean, it's still working. People are still going about their business, but there's so many other people who are hurting and who are being hurt by, you know, lack of funding. Social programs are closing or they're cutting their staff, and people are being laid off because Rauner refuses to sign a budget. It's just bad. It's bad. It's totally bad. And this is the, I don't know, the 33rd, 34th day of the shutdown, of the signs that there's no no budget in sight. And I've said so many times during the past shows, and I've let my feelings be shown to the shutdown. I thought it was disgraceful, and I still do think it's disgraceful. But after a while, you become numb to this, you know, because it seems as though things are going on as usual. But if you dig deeper, you would know that things in this state is not going along as usual. Like I've said before, people have been uprooted because there is no budget. And no budget means that the state cannot spend money. If it spends money, tries to spend money, while there is no budget, some in some circles would call it illegal. However, there is spending going on in the state, and the spending is because federal judges have ordered that some programs be funded. Just because the Speaker of the House and the Republican governor do not like each other and do not want to work each other, and do not want to work with each other, doesn't mean that people have to suffer. But there are a lot of people who are suffering and will continue to suffer because money has dried up for certain kinds of programs. Now, there are some programs where it's the law that these programs be funded. So Rauner realizes this, and he knows he can't, you know, break the law, but like I've said before, I think he's broken the law so many times he should have been brought out in handcuffs. But you know, that's just me, my opinion. But he has really turned this state upside down. I mean, when you think about someone turning a state upside down, you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California. I think Arnold destroyed that state. It took a Democrat to come in there to make the wrongs right again, and I think that's what Rauner is doing here. He wants to change stuff so badly that he's ruining the state to do it, and just don't give a damn about it. So I hate with a passion that I have to be in a state that never had gone through this until he took office, until he bought his way into office. And we're all trying to figure out, did he do something illegal by buying the office of government? By buying the office of governor, because it's documented and it's on film that he gave out gift cards for votes. So that's you know, that's true. You know, so by doing that, he just outright bought the election. And then come in and trying to, you know, do the state in, which he has. He has. He's a businessman. He's a businessman like Trump. He's a billionaire like Trump. And most Republicans, they want to suppress the vote. They want to bust unions. You know, they want to take away, you know, this and that. They want to destroy social programs. You know, they don't give a damn if you're working, not working, poor. They don't care. Republicans only care about the rich. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to still try and have that clip later on. I'm going to try and run it again, but it seems like it's skipping. It's not, you know, something's wrong somewhere. But if we don't have this one, we'll have another clip on obligations to leave in the near future. Believe me, because this is an important topic. Like I said, leadership is very important. You don't have to be a well-known person to lead. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't need a car. You don't need a house to lead. You don't even you don't need anything but yourself and your wits to be a leader. And it takes knowledge, hard work, and talent. And most of all, it takes you wanting to be a good leader out there to better your world, community, neighborhood. We need good leaders, not phony baloney leaders. Okay? So, and you know what? I think we do have a lot of great leaders out there. We have a lot of great leaders. We have people who are caring and loving and wanting to help. We don't need the government to tell us to help others. We're going to do that anyway because it's instilled in us to help others. And that makes a leader, helping others, you know, that makes it, because you have so many radio shows, so many TV shows out there who are dedicated to helping others. And that's great. Then you have a lot of TV shows out there that are dedicated to hurting people. Legitimately hurting people in the disguise of trying to want to help people. Then you have a lot of radio shows and television shows out there who are trying to tell, they're trying to tell people what to think, when to think, who to vote for, who not to vote for. You know, you have television stations out there that, that's trying to control people. And, you know, the bad part about it is that people fall into this kind of thing. They fall into these traps, you know, and it's terrible. It's really terrible. So we need good, good leaders. Like I've said before, the presidential candidates, the Republicans, they're all leaders, whether they're good leaders, bad leaders, you know, stupid leaders, dumb leaders, they're leaders in some aspect because somebody somewhere is following them. They're following and banking on their every word, you know. So they're leaders in their own right. Would I vote for them? No. But I'm here and I have a microphone and there's people out there who do listen to my show, who do archive my show, who do think I'm good at what I'm doing, and they will spread the message of what I'm saying on to others. And that is great. That's super. That is wonderful. As you can probably tell, I do not have a guest today. I am my guest. And I love doing it. I actually love being a guest on my own show. You know, it's fun. And I look forward to it sometimes because, you know, I have all of these things that I need to say, and I should say, that I have to get out there. However, I will have future guests on the show. Okay, I have a guest Saturday, and Sabrina Fraser. She's going to be on the show Saturday. She's going to be talking about. We're going to take a slight detour from the show, from the regular format of the show, and she's going to talk about relationships. You know. That is something that, you know, need to be talked about, and I thought she would be great at it. So I asked her to do that, and she agreed. And she should be on the show, like I said, the 8th Saturday. I'm thinking around 6:30 p.m. Okay, so that's that, and we're going to try to have Sally Burbank back on the show. She's going to talk about autism because I think autism is something that's close to me. I do know someone with it, and I want to try to understand it like so many other people who know others with autism, and they want to try to understand it. And I think Dr. Sally Burbank, she's been on the show so many times before, and she's so gracious, always so gracious when I asked her back on the show. But like I said before, this is your show, and I'm just trying to make it a little bit better. I'm not Ed Schultz. I'm not Tom Hartman. I'm not Mike Papantonio. These guys are guys who I look up to. And I think everybody needs someone to look up to, you know, a mentor or something. They're my mentors. You know, even though I may be older than some of them, but they are my mentor because they've been in the business a lot longer than I have. And when someone has done something a lot longer than you have, obviously they're leaders, and they're leaders that I look up to. And I'm pretty sure there's people around that look at me or see me as a leader. And I don't mind that. That's fine. It's okay. Because I understand that everybody needs someone to look up to. Everybody who's anybody needs someone they can try to emulate, especially when they're going through life and want to make life, how can I say this, make life as good as it can be. You know, so we all need leaders, no matter how old you are. I've said this several times in shows. We are never too old to learn anything. I learn something every day. I learn something all the time. I learn something from young people. I've learned something from older people. I've learned something from people who are a lot older and a lot younger. I learn something all the time. I can learn something from a 10-year-old, you know, that I didn't know before. Then I can learn something from a 90-year-old. And I can learn something from, you know, a teenager or something. I mean, you never stop learning. You never stop learning. There's always lots of things to learn. If you're curious and you want to know something, research it. Find it out. Reading. I'm going to do a show. I got a show coming up called The Benefits of Reading. And that's going to be interesting. The Benefits of Reading. It's just like, I've had a show before that, I think, called The Benefits of Drinking Water. And The Benefits of Reading. And if you guys stick around and join me for that, it should be, I don't know, 2 weeks from now, a week and a half or 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a show called The Benefits of Reading. You know, because reading is so fundamental. I'm an avid reader. You know, but there are some people out there who do not read at all. And that's a shame. Then they're laughing at other people who are readers. Okay? And that happens. So how can you laugh at someone who picks up a book, who opens the book? You're the dummy, not the person who opens up the book. Because that person who opens up that book, that person is smart. I mean, because you can get so much from a book. Knowledge. Sure. It's a book is like brain food, you know. It stimulates your brain. It stimulates your mind. Reading does. Plus, it helps your vocabulary. It builds your vocabulary. It makes you smart. It makes you knowledgeable. But you know what? You have some people out there who think other people who pick up a book or carry books are idiots. You guys and people out there don't even think you should have a high school diploma because of maybe their religion or something. Don't think you should go to a college or a university. Don't think you should vote. We have got to change the minds of people who think that way. Maybe we can't. But we may get one or two or tens of thousands, but not every one of them. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Some people just like being stupid. Some people are stupid and don't know they're stupid. Okay. Like I said before, do leaders have moral obligations to lead? We're going to try that clip again. If not, then we're going to have to get a new clip on the same subject of leading. You know, because, you know, John Maxwell, maybe we can get something else on John Maxwell besides leading. Like I said, leading is basically knowledge, talent, and hard work. And there's so many people out here in need of good leadership. Now, a leader should never go out here and lead just for the sake of leading. You're going to find people in need of being leading. Now, everybody should not be led. Everybody should try to become leaders of their own right in order to lead others. You know, so do I think leaders have the moral obligation to lead? Of course. Of course, if you feel differently, 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live on, Blog Talk Radio. You miss a show here, you miss a lot. Because I put a lot into this little conversation here. Okay, if you're going to listen to a radio show, listen to me and only me. I should have essays on the radio pretty soon. Okay, like I said, there is no guest on the show, but I probably will have a guest this Friday and a guest coming up in the following week. If not, then I should go solo because I don't mind. It's my show. Okay? All right, we're going to take a break right here. Let's see what we can do. All righty. Drum roll. Can we get a drum roll? Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. I love that drum roll. All right, here we go. All right, the other day, or was it 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I had a show on Jehovah's Witnesses. 9 things about Jehovah's Witnesses. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you listened live. But if you didn't listen live to that show, it was very interesting. 9 things about Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were astonishing. It was something I didn't know, because I have dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses in some parts of my life, and that was something. Like I said before, you always learn something. There's always something new to learn about something out there. And every time I learn something new, I said, wow, you know, I didn't know that. I really didn't. And it feels good to learn something that you didn't already know or that you just found out. You know, so like I said before, it doesn't matter what age you are. Learning is great. It stimulates your mind, your brain, your outlook. You know, it's great. Knowledge is wonderful. Yes. Be a leader. Be a leader. If you are a writer, an author, you are a leader because you're doing something that others might want to do. And they may look up. I remember when I wrote my first book. It was called Derek Sweat Sings the Blues. And it was this small bookstore right next door to my apartment building. And I had published a book, and I was wondering if it was in the bookstore. So I went downstairs, and I walked over to the bookstore. I went into the bookstore, and I asked the clerk. I said, I'm an author. My name is George Wilder Jr., and I just published my first book. Is that book in this bookstore? I asked her. She said, no, the book was not in the bookstore. But you know what? It mattered to me that the book was not in the bookstore. But when I was talking to the clerk, it was some people behind me who overheard me saying that I was looking for my book to be in that store. You know, when she told me no, it wasn't in the store, I was kind of disappointed. But the people behind me, they were looking at me in awe, you know, in awe, and said, wow, you're an author, as if they were so happy to meet an author. You know, I mean, I probably shook one of them. It was so long ago. But I probably shook someone's hand or greeted them in a nice way. I'm pretty sure I did that. But the fact is, the point I'm trying to make, people look up to you if you're doing something that they themselves would like to do. See, they overheard me asking for a book that I had written. And they're going, wow, an author. We're standing next to an author, somebody who wrote a book, you know. And that was proof right there that people are looking for leaders. I was a leader to them. I did something that they wanted to do. And they were looking for me to tell them how to do that, because they themselves wanted to be published writers. However, I was, and that made me feel good. I felt better. That made, let me put it this way. That made me feel better than knowing that my book was in the store or not in the store, just to have people of me as a published author. You know, and that's the way it is. When some people find out that you are a writer, that you are an author, they're in awe of you. Like, I don't live too far from Loyola University. I can go down there any day of the week and speak in front of those kids about writing, about my craft, about being on the radio. And they will be in awe of that, and they will be totally attentive because it may be something they want to do. My job is to say, hey, wow, you can do it. Here's how it goes. That's being a leader. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from Chicago, and it is beautiful. 7:26. I think I got about a minute or so into the show. It's been fun. It's been great. Join me tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow. We have another clip. We have a. I will not have a guest tomorrow, but I will have one on Saturday. I just was told I have 90 seconds left into the show, but that's good. That's enough time. You know, in the near future, I may not have many guests on the show, but this show will always be a great show. Because if you miss a show here, you miss a hell of a lot. That's one of the slogans of the show. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And I hope I don't sound too boring. 60 seconds into the show. Authors are leaders. Writers are leaders. Thank you for being on the show. We got a great debate tonight. The Republicans, Donald Trump. I'm going to talk to you about it tomorrow once I get off the air and start focusing on this debate, because we're talking about 2016. We're talking about being a voter. And if you can do anything, grab someone else to vote and go vote. We have to change this country. Let's change it. Let's change it now. Goodbye, everybody. Take care. All right, goodbye.